Welcome to Grace and Truth with Father George Rutler. Join Father Rutler as he talks about Catholic culture and doctrine, including grace, goodness, laughter, and humility. Here now is Father Rutler.
Every civilization has considered itself at some kind of crossroads. And depending on your personality, you may have a positive outlook or a negative outlook about that confrontation. In the 13th century, Pope Gregory IX issued a letter in which he pessimistically said, "Now that the evening of the world is declining." Well, popes are infallible in matters of doctrine. The charism of the office of Peter prevents them from teaching any lies about God, but their social analysis can vary. Does not necessarily have to be prophetic. The fact is that Gregory said that just as the sublime height of medieval culture was about to become visible in the world. The fact is, though, that wherever there is a crossroads, there will be a cross. Simple logic. There can never be a crossroads without a cross. When the cross of Christ appeared in the world, civilization truly was at a crossroads. It would seem that God, in his infinite wisdom, chose that moment in history because of its cultural drama. Consider this. The crucifixion of Christ happened almost equidistant between the capture of Rome by the Roman general Pompey and the destruction of Rome by the emperor Titus. If you go to Rome, the Arch of Titus still stands there with the desolation of the temple carved in stone. It was at that crossroads of civilization that the Lord of history made himself known. And so he says, "Now is your hour and the power of darkness." He's really speaking to the Prince of Lies. Satan always whispers into the ear of a culture that they can live without a cross. For he knows that the cross is his defeat. And he also knows that Christ offers us to participate in the victory over sin and death. Every culture is at a crossroads, and every human life is a crossroads. We stretch out our arms, we are a physical cross. Every time we get up in the morning, we're at some kind of crossroads. Every significant decision we make is a moral crossroads. In New York City years ago, there was a pastor who, when he had a church down in the Garment District, advertised that church as the crossroads of the world. New Yorkers are given to that kind of language. When he became pastor of a church on East 43rd Street, he advertised that as the crossroads of the world. He was an evangelist and a master of public relations. Fact is, every church is at the crossroads of the world. Every individual is at the crossroads of the world. And every civilization, every generation living through a cultural experience stands at a crossroads. When our Lord goes to the cross, it is the hour of darkness. This is the time of test. And our Lord on the cross gives the world the power to cross through those intersecting roads. roads of lies and dark, of truth and lie, of life and death. This is why he begins by saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The world does not understand that every day it is crucifying Christ. It happens through sin, through a denial of human dignity, through the fantasy that this is our world and truth is our perception of reality and nothing more. Our Lord on the cross forgave sins, having already forgiven sins as he walked amongst his people. And that caused scandal, we know that. The word scandal means a stumbling block. And those who respected him, even those who trusted him, and even those who loved him, drew in their breath when he said to that paralytic, "Go, your sins are forgiven." A man physically paralyzed can be cured and walk, but our Lord was forgiving the moral paralysis of the intellect and the will, and that was too much for those who heard it. What was their easy explanation? He must be casting out the devil by the power of the devil. Now, as the divine logic says, at every crossroads there is a cross, so the divine logic says that the devil cannot cast out the devil. Our Lord says that. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Satan cannot cast out Satan. Only God can do that. At one of the great crossroads in history, the United States Civil War, Abraham Lincoln appeared on the scene. And it seems that at certain crossroads, an individual like him appears with no easy explanation. A man who had been defeated time and time again in the pursuit of public office, a man who had been laughed at, who did not have outward gifts of charm or success, and yet a man who found himself finally elected to office, the right man at the right time in the right place. I think you could say a similar thing of Winston Churchill, the Second World War. Abraham Lincoln was self-taught. He learned almost all the humane sciences through reading of the Bible and his own human experience. In 1858, in Illinois, in a famous speech, he quotes Christ. He's not the first politician to have done that, but he was a rare politician in that he understood what Christ meant. And he understood that the voice of Christ speaking at the crossroads of salvation was now echoing in his own national experience as his own nation and people were being crucified. Lincoln said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free." Well, he was right about the United States of America. Christ said that of the human soul. For every nation is a composite of human souls. No nation can survive if the souls of its citizens are half slave and half free. Sin is slavery. Saving grace is freedom. The crossroads of every biography is the challenge to the soul. How will we choose? And the soul that is governed by what it thinks is freedom but which in fact is the delusion of pride, falls into slavery. It is pride, the pretense that we could live without the cross, that splits the soul. The soul is made of the intellect and the will. Passion enslaves the will. Pride then co-opts the intellect. Our friend, that great voice of the 19th century, a voice of all ages, John Henry Newman, speaking to a group of university scholars, spoke about pride, because he knew that a besetting sin of the intellectual is pride. He said famously, "Quarry the granite rock with razors, or moor the vessel with a thread of silk, and then you may hope, with such keen and delicate instruments as human knowledge and human reason, to contend against those giants, the passion and the pride of man." Passion and pride. Our Lord says, "This is the hour of darkness." He's speaking of passion. He's speaking of pride. He's speaking of the prince of lies, who wants us to think that passion is the way to freedom, that pride is the source of our dignity. Our Lord, and our Lord alone, knows that passion and pride can only be defeated by suffering and failure. That's what the cross is about. The cross has been called the medicine of the world. It is the cure for this deep affliction, this neurosis within the soul, that would have us mistake slavery for freedom. When the soul is divided, a civilization begins to fall apart. The consciousness of God is the beginning of accepting the cross. For once we understand there is a God, He by His grace, if we are humble, will show us that He is one, that He is merciful, and that He is the power to draw us to Him. "I, if I be lifted up," says Christ, "will draw all men to myself." Our Lord reveals Himself to the Jews. He says to Moses, I am the I am. I am the source of all life. But if our souls are divided, if our civilization is split apart, if the house of culture is divided, then we begin to lose that vision. God told us, "I am." And yet, at the remnant end of a broken and decaying civilization, governed by passion and pride, instead of proclaiming that God is the great I am, we are reduced one way or another to sniveling observations about truth, and eventually gasping out, "I don't even know what is. We'll never know what is. We will never understand the grammar of civilization. We will never understand the content of justice until we confront the great I am." The great I am comes into the world in Christ. "I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the gate. I am the way and the truth and the life." Our Lord goes to the cross, at the crossroads of civilization, and conquers passion and pride through His own suffering and visible failure. We have to remember that the suffering of God in Christ was one of the most difficult things for people to grasp. It was the cause that made many of them flee the cross. And even when people tried to identify with the cross, in many instances, they tried to redefine and deny the suffering of Christ's own blood, his body on the cross. These Gnostics, these heretical groups within Christianity, claimed that Christ was only pretending to suffer on the cross. They could not understand that the divine glory was involved with a divine humility. Goebbels, that vicious and despicable propaganda officer of the Nazi machine, wrote in a diary around Christmas time in 1941 that he had just had an impressive meeting with the Führer. He was impressed with Hitler's familiarity with classical civilization. And the Führer had told him that he very much admired the myth of the pagan god Zeus, the god of all the gods in the Greek pantheon. And why? He said, because Zeus was a figure of benevolence and kindness. What a difference between the benevolent and smiling Zeus and the pain-racked, crucified Christ. That's the experience in the 20th century was just another manifestation of the Gnostic denial of the incarnation of God. But note, for one of the cruelest men who ever lived, it was easier to choose the sentimental figure of a non-existent God than the suffering and failing Christ on the cross. Christ suffers on the cross to defeat the passion and pride of Satan. And he fails on the cross. That's the other part of the passion of Christ. He has to fail according to the lights of a deceived civilization. He has to contradict those criteria for worldly success which animate the passion and the pride of man. He cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is not any kind of mythical success. No mythical God ever cried out like that. When John Paul Getty was probably the richest man in the world, someone asked him his key to success. He replied, it's very easy. Rise early, work hard, and strike oil. Not very helpful advice, really. Our Lord never said anything like that. He did rise early. He kept all-night vigils. And he worked hard to the point of sweating blood. But he never said, go out and strike oil. Salvation does not depend on luck. Take up your cross, come after me. Stand at the crossroads and choose truth over lies. Choose life over death. The Jewish philosopher Martin Buber said, success is not one of the names of God. He was speaking from the experience of God's chosen people. In his voice, you could, when you read those words, you could still hear the lamentations of the Jews in their captivity in Egypt, their 40 years wandering, the desolation of their temple, their Babylonian captivity, suffering through the ages, the horrors of the 20th century. That is a microcosm of every life living at the crossroads. Christ came into history, the Messiah of the Jews, the fulfillment of the longing of the people to find a resolution between light and dark, between life and death. He walked through the crowds, and he said on one occasion, "Who touched me?" All those people around, he still said, "Who touched me?" One woman had touched the hem of his garment, and he knew it. For however many civilizations that there are, however many billions of people ever live, each one of us is known to God when we touch him. And we have to call him by name. We cannot call him according to our own name. We cannot pretend that he is anything less than the pain-racked, suffering Christ. Certainly success is not one of his names. When he hangs on the cross and cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's saying something that you'll not find in any book of positive thinking. You'll not hear in any sermon on possibility thinking. You'll not see engraved on any smile button. And that kind of language is not chicken soup for the soul. It is the voice of the Lord of history at the crossroads of history, hanging on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's speaking of you and of me and of every man and woman who's walked through the drama of human experience. Who touched me? I did. Well then, who crucified me? I did. If we deny that, we're governed by passion and pride, and the house of our soul is divided. A great baseball player and master malaprop, a Yogi Berra, said, when you come to a crossroads of life, take it. Well, it's not very much more helpful advice than that of Mr. Getty, but I think you know what he meant. Christ gives everyone, every day, every time we wake up, a chance to choose. And of all people who've ever lived, we have less excuse than any to make a wrong choice. For we have the experience of all the civilizations that have gone on before. We have the hard experience of those who have rejected Christ. We have in history the consequences of civilizations which have turned their backs on God's beauty and truth and love. And we also have the models of the holy saints. When God tells us at the crossroads of history to choose him, he means choose the Holy Catholic Church.
Please join us again next time for Grace and Truth with Father George Rutler on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.